Hey Potters, welcome to episode 303 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
Welcome to summer, folks.
It's too early for summer. I'm already just
you would think.
Annoyed and miserable by the weather. So, and it's funny too, because we're ping ponging so badly because I went out to Scarborough a couple of weeks ago and it was 43, but only like 2 days prior, it was 92. Like, this is great. This is lovely.
And today as we record this, it is pouring rain.
Woo! And it's going to be like that all weekend.
I will not complain because it's washing the pollen off of my vehicle.
That's something.
Which is fantastic.
That's something.
I will take it. My allergies are grateful. But at the same time, it's driving my paint and resin bonkers.
Because it is so flippin' humid. Oh my God. It is gross.
Yeah, if anybody out in this area has been itching to spray paint anything or work with casting resins, that sort of thing, top coats, I'd wait just a bit.
Wait it out. Just wait it out. It's not worth it right now. Unless you want sticky.
It will never, ever set properly in this weather. It just won't. No matter how long you let it sit, it won't.
It will refuse to do so.
I have experience with this stuff.
I can't confirm.
I've had to throw out things because they never actually fully set. Mm-hmm. And when it's tacky, you cannot make the tack go away. There is no coating that I have ever found of anything that will make the tack go away. Because eventually, like the closest I've come is Mod Podge. If you put a really thick coat on it, then the tack will go away for about 2 days. On day three, you pick it up again, you have resin coming off on your fingers. Mm-hmm. It does not work.
So TLDR, just wait.
Yeah.
You don't have to finish your cosplay this weekend. Wait another weekend.
But yeah, speaking of Mod Podge and getting into cosplay updates.
Yeah.
Since I have my Hexflex sitting next to me still.
Nice.
You'll notice that I have both arms bandaged. So Amber's just a little bit injured, so working on cosplay has been a little bit slow. But what I have been doing, I'll show you one of my sticks. You can see all of the foam that's wrapped around it because the stick is blue. I have painter's tape on it so that I can pull things off cleanly from the stick. But you can see these are my little armor pieces that I'm painting. And they're shaped over the rod so that they're about the same width as my fingers, give or take just a little bit. And so I'm slowly putting the base coat on these. I did make sure that they have a smooth texture when I'm finished with the paint, so I will dry brush them to get that kind of dry brush steel kind of look, because whatever you put on your undercoat of paint shows up in your overcoat. So when I go to spray paint these or paint them with silver acrylics, that dry brush texture will show up, which is what I want. And that's great. Also, double stick tape does not work well with foam. It actually tore one of these pieces and I had to super glue it back together. And hopefully I can kind of mask that slight imperfection in the texture because I am not a fan of battle damaged armor myself. I know that a lot of people do enjoy that sort of look. I prefer the more clean, pristine look for my armors. But I am working on this. And then, of course, it's not an Amber episode if I don't have a pile of fabric.
Yay.
To also show you. This is part of the pile. I am finding that it's very, very hard to trace pattern pieces on knit because it does not like to be traced on since it is so very stretchy. Chalk is what I have been using, and it's still very hit and miss as far as how accurate the pattern pieces are when I cut them out. But at the moment, I'm working on cutting out the lining. I've already cut out all the outside pieces. And now I'm working to see how much of the fabric I have left to get self-lining out of it. I don't think I'll be able to get the skirt pieces. I think it's too much. So I might have to delve into my broadcloth supply and just quilt some of the pieces, some of the scraps together, because it's a great way to get rid of scraps. If you ever have a ton of fabric, like little pieces left over and you don't know what to do with them, quilt them together and use them as lining. Because no one's ever going to look at your lining unless you're going into competition, in which case they're going to flip your seams, so please don't do this. But as long as you're not going to compete with the costume, perfectly fine to just quilt scraps together and use it for a lining. You can always finish off the edges. And so I may have to dip into some of my scrap supply for the lining, just for that part. The only thing I'm torn on, and I ran into this problem, and maybe the Potter universe out there can help me, is that I have to make the fairy tale symbol for Erza. And usually those are not supposed to stretch because they'll get distorted just a little bit. Like you won't be able to tell what the shape is if you distort it too much. But the duster, I'll call it, is made out of a very flowy material. Technically, hers is actually probably made out of satin, but I wasn't going to pay that kind of money for a cosplay I might wear once or twice. And so I had this knit left over, which is why I'm using it. But if I sew a non-woven, like say vinyl, to the knit, and the knit stretches, it's going to yank at the stitching underneath of the vinyl because the vinyl doesn't stretch, but the knit does. But if I use a stretchy material to make the symbol, then it'll distort when the underside stretches with me, like if I'm moving. And so I'm a little flummoxed as to like what material I should make it out of. I'd prefer not to paint it on with fabric paint because it just doesn't have the same polished appearance. Even if I use nice fabric paint, it still doesn't quite look the same. Ultimately, I may have to do that just so that it stretches properly. But if you all can think of a good fabric that has a little stretch, not as much as knit, not like jersey, not like spandex, but just a little bit of stretch, but has a mostly non-woven texture, please let me know in the comments and on social media what fabric I should go find for this, because I have a limited number of choices that I can use. Unfortunately, my favorite fabric store is going away, which is unfortunate, and I'm so sad, but you know, it is what it is.
Can I make suggestions?
So, yes, please.
Okay, so first off, my first question to you is, are you expecting to like stretch this thing out to the end of its lifetime? Like it's supposed to be a duster, so it just kind of sits on you, right?
Yes, it should stretch at most, I'm thinking 1 inch.
I would be surprised if it even
And
does
that's only
that.
because, well, that's why I said at most, and it's because it's the area of my chest. And so for women, that is the part that needs the most curvature and the part that moves the most.
Because I.
And so it should be less than 1 inch, but that should be the absolute maximum that it would ever go.
Because there's. Yeah, unless you are making leggings, which you need to hug and your every single one of your curves, honestly, you
No,
can
no,
use the exact same material on top of it and it will look great. I promise you. As somebody who has done this a bunch of times, you will be fine. If you are insisted on having something with a little bit less stretch in it, do a stretch cotton. It has very low stretch. But it'll get you some of the stiffness that you want while giving you a bit of the ease.
Yeah, I do have a little bit of stretch cotton. I'll have to go dig into my box and find it.
Yeah. So at least that will be an option for you. Because, I mean, I would be
Yeah.
surprised if it is even an itch. Because, like I said,
This particular fabric is fairly transparent on its own. It's very thin knit, which is why I have to self-line it. It's not enough on its own. And so I would probably have to double up to use it properly for the emblem, just because as thin as it is, it's fragile. So I may try it. I will have to fabric paint it if I use the same stuff. Whereas I might have a little bit of ivory stretch cotton, which is basically what I'd need.
There's my suggestion. As
Yes.
somebody who has worked with so much stretchy fabric in her lifetime, that it's kind of ludicrous.
This is only my second time working with a stretchy fabric, oddly enough. The other thing that I wanted to put out to you guys as I have been working on the armor piece is this little guy, which this won't be unusual to a lot of people. It's just super glue. But this particular type of container, if you work with super glue a lot, I highly recommend getting one of these. And it's because these little lovely blue things on the side, you squeeze the bottle, and that's what makes the super glue come out. So it's not like pressure where you have to squeeze the whole bottle like this and let gravity do its thing. You actually just squeeze the sides, and it's a lot less pressure needed, and it's a lot easier to control because I get super glue all over the place occasionally when the bottle doesn't behave, especially if it's like really hot outside or if it's really humid.
Right.
It affects how super glue runs. And I found that this sort of bottle works so much better. I don't know why, but it does. So
Magic.
if you're prop maker, If you use super glue a lot, I highly recommend getting like this style bottle because it will definitely help clean up a lot of the mess. At least that's what I have found thus far in using it.
Good.
Side note, you do have to be 18 or older to buy super glue at the store. If you are underage, please don't try. It is illegal. Please don't.
In the United States.
So, yes.
Clarification.
Yes. Yes, I love getting carded over super glue.
Isn't that fun? You're just like, really?
Like, I promise you, I am not buying this to do anything nefarious with it. I am literally using it to mend tears in my foam. In fact, I would prefer not to smell it at all.
Right, that stuff is just so potent and
It
nasty.
does
No,
not smell
thank
good.
you.
Adhesives do not smell good. Please use proper protection.
Yeah, none of them smell good. They're all terrible.
Those are all my cosplay updates.
Well, per usual, I don't have cosplay updates because I've been busy working on the tutorial that's going to be in this episode, which will come momentarily. But I do have cospod updates for all of us because we have busyness
Yes.
happening. So first things
Yes.
first is we've got conventions on the list for May. Woohoo! We're going out again.
Gonna be out and
We're gonna be
about.
out and about. What's this? What nonsense is this?
Woohoo.
Woo! So the first one on the list is we're planning to attend Otaku Oasis. It's a new fan convention that's taking place in Dallas May 2nd to May 4th. It's its first year, so that's one thing that was ticked off the list. Like, okay, new con, let's see what this is about. Tickets are starting at $35 for the whole weekend, which we were like, that's like mid-2000s prices. What?
It is. It's so shocking to see a con that has a weekend badge for that price anywhere these
Yeah,
days.
and that also includes the after party ticket. And I was like, what? Okay. I mean, there's also VIP and stuff like that. So obviously it goes up. There's a maid
Of
cafe, there's
course.
additional fees. But still, just seeing that was like,
Yes.
okay. They have a cosplay contest where best in show is a 1 grand prize. Like, okay. A lot of anime voice acting guests are there. I mentioned a maid cafe, there's gonna be a drag show, there's a mix of good content. There isn't a schedule posted at the moment, but very likely we'll be there Saturday because Saturday traditionally is like cosplay day. So check us out. We'll be there. Good stuff. And then the following Friday, May 9th, we will be guesting as Cospod at Colin Con, which is at Colin College. It is free admission, free food, free gaming tournaments, and tabletop stuff. It's from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll be hosting a cosplay Q&A panel. So if you are able to attend one of those, come up, say hi. We'll be around doing stuff and things.
Can't do much better than free,
Yeah, free is free. We love that.
especially these days at conventions.
No joke. So yeah, that'll be interesting.
Although, speaking of convention badges for weekends for roughly $35, I did note that AllCon is doing something different for next year. They have already opened pre-sales for next year. And I believe, if I remember the email correctly, the weekend badge is selling for $39.95
I did see
right
that,
now,
yeah.
which is a huge discount from what it was at the door last year, which I think was 70. Wasn't it
I
$69.95?
don't know. I don't remember.
Either way, this again, these are like mid-2000s prices for some of these conventions. You may wish to consider snapping these up if you are looking at going. Especially if they have a refund policy, so that if for whatever reason you can't go, you can always get your money back. But it's really hard to find convention badges anywhere at this kind of price these
It's
days.
pretty normal to see like $80 for a weekend for first time
Yes.
conventions, and you're just like, I don't even know how
I
good
mean,
you are yet.
35, 40 is what you'd normally pay for a single day, let alone a weekend. And that's without parking, hotel, or anything else. I mean, go back and listen to some of our earlier episodes when we talk about conventions and budgeting and all that fun stuff, and you'll hear us talk about all this
And
stuff.
rant about it too. Of
Of course.
course.
And give some tips.
Yeah. And then the only other Cospod update I wanted to make everybody aware of is with our website, we had to make changes to our accessibility plugin. The previous one that I really, really liked, unfortunately, it was purchased by a company. and it started tanking really fast. So I had to update it. So I know it doesn't look as nice or as slick, but it does offer the exact same features as previously. So thank you for your patience as I updated that. But we're back in business again on it. I just feel bad it doesn't look as slick as it used to. I tried. I did my best. But that's it. That's it for updates.
All we can do.
Yeah. That's all that we can do is our best.
Indeed. And we do have some very nice interviews coming up that we're working on as well. So stay tuned and hype for those.
Yeah. It's going to be a busy couple of months for us, especially since we're planning to do two conventions and usually we do reviews. So next episode's going to be chonky.
Yes. There will be content for days.
Yes.
You all will have quite a bit to listen to over the next few months. But of course, as always, if you all have books you want us to review, products you want us to review, folks you'd like us to talk to who are in the cosplay community, interviews, that sort of thing, you can always let us know either via email or our social media, which of course we'll repeat again at the end of the show.
Over there in Amber's corner, back down there. There you go. And in show notes, always in show notes.
Yes. Please don't put me in the corner.
No, we're not going to put Amber in the corner.
All right. Shall we move on to today's topic?
Yeah. Our topic today is a new tutorial, and I'm actually going to show you guys the finished product, which is not very impressive looking when you think about it, because you're like, okay, it's a wig and there's a braid. What's going on here? Well, it may seem basic, but I'm going to show you how to make a tulle fabric sock to help keep your braids maintained and mess free. So I hope you guys enjoy it. All right, Potters, it's time to show you the ins and outs of this new yet old cosplay technique that is currently making the rounds on TikTok. We're going to be making fabric socks for your wig braids. It's an easy way to keep your wigs looking clean and sleek without worry about the braid becoming frizzy or getting undone during the day. The tulle fabric blends in well with your wig that you can barely see it, and it's really ideal for taking care of those long, long braids. So for your materials, you're going to need your wig, obviously. About a third of a yard of tulle in a similar color to the wig. This can be also crinoline if you need something stiffer but still flexible, but ideally tulle is going to be the best option. A sewing machine with matching thread color, hand sewing needle, measuring tape, and of course have extra hair ties on hand and a pair of scissors. So ultimately what we are doing is we're going to be making three fabric socks, one for each of your braid strands. Quick note here, I made my fabric socks about a quarter of an inch larger than you should for this process because I'm going to be chopping up this wig later for a different project. The braid here is for demonstration purposes only. I just needed an easy way to hack them off without it taking me 30 minutes to do so. So let's start by getting out your wig, plopping it on your wig head, and sectioning out the hair into three braid strands. Do your best to try to keep each of the strands at a similar width and volume. What I like to do is to take one of the pieces and use several hair ties to kind of help keep the hair gathered together, just so that way it's easier to work with when we're measuring. Using a measuring tape, we are going to wrap the tape around the widest at the top, the midpoint, and the lowest part of the hair to determine the width. And then you want to determine the length of the hair starting at the point where you anticipate the braid will begin.
One downside of using white tulle that you can't see it on anything.
Using this information, go to your tulle fabric and mark out the length. Then mark out the three widths approximately. The tube is going to look like a long tapered rectangle, and that's what it should be. We know that hair tends to be thicker at the top and thinner at the ends, and it's no different for wigs. Cut out the fabric times three. Fold one of the fabric pieces in half along the length, and then you're going to sew down with a zigzag stitch. The idea here is you need to keep flexibility for the wig to still have movement and give. So some of the give is going to come from the fabric and the way that tulle works, but the rest of it is thanks to sewing. For fabric quality, go with like a fashion tulle and not the craft tulle that you can buy on a bolt at a 1 foot wide for 100 yards. That tool is stiff, it's rough, and it feels very plasticky. So I know tool is primarily polyester, even its higher quality form, but there's a difference in the texture and the feel of it when you compare it to like the craft tool. You also don't want your wig fibers to get snagged, and having the better fabric helps. Truly, like, the upgrade and the quality is a $1 to $2 USD difference. Don't use chiffon or organza, because the idea here is to have the weave in such a way that it allows for most of the hair fibers to be seen. We're not trying to cover up the wig. It's almost like it's getting a nice little overlay. Once you're done sewing, you want to turn the fabric tubes inside out.
Before we continue, I want to extend an apology to my film professors for turning the camera this way. It's really killing me on the inside to do so, but I had to so you all can see what I am doing. Since this is a long wig tutorial for a braid, I had to turn the camera sideways, and I am so sorry. Hopefully this helps though.
You take one section of the wig, you remove the hair tie from it, and then you gently twist the hair. You don't want to do a tight twist, make it a very loose fitting twist. Then you start feeding it into one of the fabric tubes where the widest part is at the top and the smallest part is at the bottom. And then it's just a really slow process of just feeding that hair through the fabric tube. And because you have twisted it, it makes it easier to slide through. Once you get the hair through, you can push the fabric tube up, untwist the hair, brush out the hair, and pull the tube down. You can also gently pat the hair to help it uncoil a little bit in the tube and to fill out. I find that this is an easier process to work through if you're not doing any pre-styling to the hair. It just makes it so much more simpler to work with. Hand sew the fabric tube at the top with a basic stitch. Work your way around each braid in a full circle. You don't want to sew from top to bottom because it'll flatten out the hair, unless that's the look that you want, but that's not what we're trying to achieve here. And then continue the process on with the other braid pieces. So something else to note is this method of using some type of covering for your braids has been around for a while, because we've seen this for years with idol costumes, Vocaloid, drag looks, and the like, but it's made a recent resurge on social media. So we thought like this would be kind of cool to show you the full breakdown on how to achieve this. I tried to locate some of the original sources from the days of Cosplay Old, but haven't had any luck thanks to changes with search engines. But if I find something during editing, I'll be sure to link. You can use the same technique with teased hair or with hair that maybe has like a foam core base. Best thing to do is instead of stitching it with a zigzag stitch through a machine and then feeding it through the tube, wrap the fabric around each braid part and hand stitch it into place. It does take much more time, but it'll come out very nice and clean this way. Once the fabric is secured, you can braid the hair. At the end of the braid, tie it off with a hair tie just to keep it temporarily in place. And it's optional here, but you can sew the fabric tubes at the bottom with a slip stitch just to help keep it in place. More than likely, you're probably gonna have a decorative piece covering this part, so a temporary stitch will work just fine. But we're not done yet, because we're still gonna do some more hand stitching to help secure the fabric to the braid so you don't have odd gaps that can appear while moving. So from the interior, you wanna follow the line of the braid and just do a simple stitch. You can do a slip stitch and then back stitch it to prevent the ends from unraveling. I've seen some people do a whip stitch, which wraps around the fabric and the hair. If you keep these stitches small, you won't see the hair pucker. But I do recommend doing the stitching down the whole braid. Keep the stitches as small as possible and it'll come out really nice and clean. And it'll help you hide any of the machine stitches that may have kind of twisted around while you were braiding. And then this is it. That's the last step to complete your look. Finish up your wig as needed, and now you are ready to whip that braid around without any worry about it becoming a mess.
And we're back.
Hope you enjoyed that. It was fun to film, and I
and hopefully hopefully you find it useful too, because as somebody who's almost the entirety of my collection is long hair, being able to keep it maintained is very difficult. And all it takes is one time when you're lazy and it's just like, oh, I don't feel like brushing it out. I don't feel like braiding it and putting it back in the bag. All it takes is one. And if you have one of the older wigs that doesn't have the nicer synthetics in it, it can actually ruin the wig. And I've done this before, and it's so just frustrating.
It's never fun when you have these long hair pieces to deal with, and which is why I usually go with short hair characters now, because I'm like, ah, it's easier to handle. I can throw it back in the bag, all as well.
I mean, if you use clip-on extensions, then that can also be a little easier, because then you just have the wig base to take care of, and then the extension is a separate thing. But it's when it's all one piece that it's a little more.
Yeah, and especially as wigs have become so much more intricate and over the top, mm-hmm. it takes even more effort to maintain those and keep them safe.
I know that a lot of people prefer to keep them very natural, very flowing. They don't use a lot of product in it to keep it like locked in place. And so you end up having to basically restyle it
every
time you put it on, just because you're not using glues or anything that will lock its shape, unless you're doing like Super Saiyan wigs. But even then, like the natural look is in, and so it's a lot more common to find the longer wigs instead of like fixing them in place. Everybody likes to just keep it as is.
As somebody,
they're harder to maintain that way.
It is, because I've got a couple of costumes where I do that, and I every single time I pull it out of the bag, I'm like, oh, I gotta restyle you again,
yep.
And I always get frustrated, and I keep telling myself, I just need to lock these suckers in place. I don't care.
Yep,
because it's just too much work at the end of the day.
And that's one of the pros of locking it in place, is that you don't have to worry about doing those things, because it will always be in the same shape.
You never have to worry.
Yeah, I've seriously debated doing that on a couple of mine.
Yeah.
It's like, is the natural look worth it? Sometimes no.
No, it still looks good in pictures. So you know what? Just shellac it in place.
True. And Photoshop is so ubiquitous these
days
that you could always fix it in post.
You
can
just slap a filter on it. Nobody's going to know.
Pretty much. But yay, hopefully you all both have enjoyed it and get some use out of it. Of course, we will have other tutorials going forward. If there are any specific tutorials that you're looking for, we recommend looking through our archives first, because we have so many tutorials that we've filmed over the years that you may actually find, you know, speaking of what's old is new again, you may find a tutorial that actually suits exactly what it is you're looking for in our archives. And all of that's available on YouTube. But if there is a tutorial that you can't seem to find that you would like us to look into, please feel free to let us know. And if we can't do it, we will try and either find one that exists, or we'll find someone that can make
exactly. one. Exactly. If we don't know it, we'll find somebody who does.
Exactly. That's what the internet is for learning things. All right. Do we have anything else for the show?
Nope. We can wrap it up. This is one of our shorter ones. This is kind of scary.
That's okay. We had really long ones before this.
True. They were
necessary.
In fact,
I think
necessary.
Our last one was like an hour and a half. Yes. So, of course, like I said, if you all would like to let us know what product you want us to review, new tutorials you want us to do, people you'd like us to interview, anything like that, anything you'd like to see on the show, please feel free to let us know via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For those who are watching us, everything is located underneath Amber in the bottom left-hand corner, right down over there. There you go. Go look at it. It's good stuff. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube as CosPodcast, and on Blue Sky as CosPod.
You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes.
I will say,
which is coming up on summer, we may need to restock.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's not a whole lot of Nick Cage memes that are seasonal, except for a couple of like Halloweeny stuff. It's easy to get Nick Cage when he's screaming or yelling because that's his shtick.
Yes. Otherwise, please stay safe. Stay healthy out there. Keep working on all of those cosplays, except maybe paint and resin if you're out in the area and it's pouring buckets of rain right now, so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us, maybe in the next week or two.
Yay!
ASAP for everybody else. Otherwise, we will see you all next time in episode 304. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.